Every year on the first Sunday of Lent, the church gives us for our meditation the temptation narrative as we hear Jesus being driven out to the desert after his baptism, there fasting and praying for 40 days and being tempted. And no pun intended, but we might be tempted to dismiss this whole thing because Jesus was the Son of God. How can God be tempted? Or we might be tempted to think that Jesus, because he is tempted, maybe he is not God. And how do we understand this? And the word tempted here means to be tested. And the problem is so often we think as human beings, because we're so easily tempted into sin and so easily fall into sin, that temptation means to sin. It isn't. It's a testing. Temptation is a testing. And we can successfully navigate that test, or we can fail. That's the question, is how are we going to pass, are we going to take the test and pass, or are we going to fail? Jesus shows us perhaps a model that we can do, because he understood what his task in life was, what his mission was, that he was called to proclaim the good news of Jesus, good news of God, that he was called to be that good news, to give his life as ransom on the cross, to initiate a new covenant, a covenant that we're brought into through baptism, a covenant that we're brought into and renewed every time we come to the Eucharist. In fact, we hear those words, the blood of the new covenant, every time we celebrate Mass. And we hear about that covenant today in our first reading and in our psalm response as well. A covenant is a promise that God has made that is binding on both parties, a covenant that makes of two what makes from two into one. It unites us. And so there was a covenant with Adam, as God promised that he would be our creator, a covenant made with Noah, as we hear today, that God would never destroy the earth again through water. Notice it's never destroyed the earth again through water. He's very specific. Doesn't say he's not going to destroy the earth, or he's not going to destroy each individual through water, which he does in the waters of baptism. He brings us to new life through those waters. And there will be a time when this world is consumed, but God will never destroy us again through water, all of us through water. Or the promise, the covenant of Noah, or of Moses rather, of the new law, that he would be we would be his people and he would be our God. Or the covenant with David, that he would establish a kingship in the line of David forever. And that new covenant. Time and again, God offering us covenants to initiate us, to bring us in, to keep us in relationship with him. But the covenants can be broken. And they are broken. And what happens? Well, in Noah's day, and Moses had a covenant, and Abraham had a covenant, it would always involve animal sacrifice. And it was a reminder that may this happen to me if I break the covenant. God cannot break the covenant, but we do. And God, time and again, instead of holding us to that covenant, decided once and for all, a human person, Jesus Christ, would seal the covenant with his own blood. That he gives us new life. We couldn't do it on our own, so he gives us that new life to keep us in the covenant, but we have to remain in the covenant. We have to remain time and again, and so that takes discernment. And ultimately, what is that covenant? That God would take us to himself. And it has to do with our very purpose. And if you ask, what is our purpose? What is the purpose of human life? The Baltimore Catechism has one of the most succinct answers we could ever hope for. The purpose of our life is to know, love, and serve God in this life and to be with him for all eternity. It's a beautiful answer, isn't it? St. Ignatius of Loyola in his Spiritual Exercises gives us another statement of that, and it's a paraphrase. There's a translation in the pastor's notes today, and it goes on. But our purpose is to love, revere, and serve the Lord in this life, and by this means to save our souls. He's saying to cooperate with the grace and the covenant that God has given us to cooperate with that covenant so much so that we are with him for all eternity. St. Ignatius would go on then to help us discern that which leads us closer to the Lord is to be embraced, and that which leads us from the Lord is to be avoided. It's all fancy words. And when it comes down to brass tacks, what does that mean? How are we to live? What has to be individually discerned? And it's hard and it's difficult to understand. What does that really mean? And so often, because we don't understand or often take time, it's things like Lent that remind us, oh, that's right, God has a covenant with us. He has a plan for our lives. What is it? And we take stock of our lives, not to make light of this of the Lenten situation that we're in. Sometimes it happens, like on Wednesday, in times of tragedy, as we see somebody who's obviously has mental problems kill, maim, destroy. It wakes us up and we begin to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of our lives and how are we to live? And sometimes it's in the sudden death or a sudden loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's some profound moment of extreme clarity, even. It's not always sad. But we have to ask ourselves, how am I to live? And it's down to each one of us. I'll give an example. For most of us, visiting a house of prostitution is probably not a good thing. In fact, I would say for almost all of us. But there's a story that I heard a long time ago of a particular man who had the habit, he would go to work, he would work during the day, and every once in a while, he would go and visit a house of ill repute, shall we say. And he was criticized by his townmates, as rightfully so, perhaps. Well, as time went by, and after his death, all of a sudden, the people in town realized what he had done. He had a deal. That each night he spent with a prostitute, he gave her the money up front and said, I want you to go and sleep in the other room. Go and sleep. Rest. Here's the money you would have made tonight. Turn to the Lord. Convert your life. And meanwhile, he stayed up and prayed for her. Prayed for her conversion. Was he a sinner? Was he even tempted to respond? Probably not. Again, he had been tested so much in his life that for him, it wasn't even a temptation to sin. And perhaps after his death, they began to understand how many women had ceased to be involved in the prostitution trade, the slave trade, the sex trade. Saint Vitalis is his name. Saint. Or Saint Nunes, a bishop. And during a conference, they were gathered, and they were walking the streets, and they came across a beautiful actress who was also known for sleeping around in the 4th century. All the other bishops turned their heads, and he didn't. He turned to them and said, have you ever seen anyone so beautiful who had violated her life so much so that she reduces herself to this? And they looked at him, and he had tears in her eyes, his eyes. She overheard what he had said, came back. Bishop, what do I do? She gave him everything she had earned and lived the rest of her life in reparation for the sins that she had committed and leading others into sin. Saint Pelagia, saint. They have responded to the grace of God, the individual to them. For most of us, that would be temptation, near occasions of sin. But for them, they had lived their lives so much so that they began to understand, this is God's mission in my life. This is how I am called to love and serve God in the concrete. I use those examples. If we can see them in those extremes, hopefully we can begin to understand, what does it mean for me? How do I discern God's will for my life? Well, anything that helps us to serve God, to love God, we embrace. The times For some people, watching TV might be a source of grace for them. It depends on the shows, I guess. But to watch the news and to say what's going on in the world and how am I called to pray and intercede, for other people, TV might be a source of temptation. We ought to avoid it. For some people, it might be going to the bars. I know some priests who are fond of going and converting people there. It's not my strength. Other people, it depends. But we're each called in our own way to do what God has called us to do, not only to live for ourselves, but as St. Ignatius would remind us, by this to save our souls. And we shouldn't need a national tragedy. We shouldn't need Lent, but we do. In order to wake up, in order to ask ourselves, am I where the Lord wants me to be? And the best question we perhaps can ask ourselves to ask if we are really doing what the Lord wants, if this at this moment God would choose to take us, God forbid, but should he, would I be ready to stand in his presence and say, Lord, I have served you with my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole soul. I've loved you with everything that I am, and I've tried to embrace everything that leads me closer to you. I've tried to avoid all that leads me from you. If we can't answer that question, it's time to take stock of our lives, to ask the Lord for the grace to understand more fully that we are called to know, love, and serve him in this life, and to be with him for all eternity. We can't hedge our bets. We can't just simply say, well, I'm good enough. St. Pelagia, before her conversion, probably thought, well, I'm good enough. St. Nunes, before he got to that point where he could actually mourn over someone and seeing her beauty and dignity that she had lost, that she herself did not see, probably thought, well, I'm good enough. All the saints, hearing and responding to the grace of God, individual, each in their own way, each responding to that mission, each knowing that Jesus Christ gave them the model to know the mission, to know and love and serve God, and to avoid everything that leads us from God, but more importantly, to embrace all that leads us to him.